tourism officials unveil their spring marketing strategy Wednesday, and we continue our conversation about how to manage the industry as people are starting to question if the negatives are starting to outweigh the pluses. In the past week, we've heard from legislative policymakers from Oahu and the Big Island. Today, we talked to one of the newest county council members on Maui. Tamara Palton worked face-to-face with our visitors as an ocean safety officer and shares her perspective.
I feel like I was working on the front lines of tourism. I was an ocean safety officer at D.T. Fleming's Beach Park on the Upper West Side. So I interacted with tourists nearly every day. And we have a lot of tourists coming to West and South Maui. It allows for us to have kind of a good deal of revenue to come into our county, but we're kind of straining at our infrastructure with us not getting back the full THC amounts like how it was before the cap. It's almost becoming more and more of a burden. Recently, they built a big, like a $300 million parking garage for rental cars at the airport. And, you know, it kind of seems like a good idea because the rental cars were just parked all over the place, but it set us up a little bit to clog our roads from Central Maui to West Maui and Central Maui to South Maui. You can really tell when it's tourist season, especially winter break, summer break, and spring break. The roads to and from West and South Maui get really clogged and back up, more so than normal.
Those lines over there at the Maui airport, unreal.
To me, it would be great if we could find more of a way to spread the tourism out throughout the year, but part of it can be, you know, trying to encourage more tourism during the off-season rather than keep promoting, you know, the standard times when tourists come. I think over here on Maui, originally we were going after kind of the more high-end tourists than, say, other places, because a lot of our hotels are high-end and cost the RevPAR, the nightly room rates are quite high. But you kind of are hearing that more hotels more hotels are wanting to be built here. And with the current infrastructure the way it is, it's kind of a scary thought.
You folks just recently had a landslide also there on Maui. How did that affect things?
The one in the Upper West Side, not too much, because, you know, it's past the last of the hotels on the West Side. The Ritz-Carlton is our last hotel on the Upper West Side, and the landslide was further on Highway 30 than that hotel, although a lot of tourists do like to take that scenic route and, you know, see all the, you know, the winding rural countryside. I do have some friends that live in Honokohau Valley, which is, you know, in the general vicinity that the road was cut off. And I let them know that the road was going to be shut down only to residential tourists. And one of my friends were like, great, can we keep it like that all the time? Because they're constantly getting, you know, a stream of tourists going through their area, which is kind of a rural area off the grid. They see, like, you know, the constant stream of tourism is a little bit of an intrusion to their lifestyle.
So in their mind, the negatives are starting to outweigh the positives.
Yeah, they like it. You know, and I don't know if it's because of the Maui Revealed book or, you know, just the volume of tourists coming. A lot of tourists have been going into areas that aren't traditionally been set up for tourists, you know, no like restrooms or any type of tourist infrastructure in the area. When I used to work at the beach, this past year, 2018-2017, we were getting a lot of calls of visitors going out into the rural areas and getting swept off the cliffs into the ocean. And, you know, a lot of them didn't make it. Some of them made it. But in the last 1 or 2 years, it was a lot more extensive than I had ever seen in my 17 years of working the beach. How many people were, you know, going up on the edge of the cliffs and then, because of the high surf or whatever, getting swept off into the ocean, and not everybody made it out alive. So, you know, I mean, part of it is Maui Revealed telling our tourists places to go that have never been traditionally publicized, and part of it too is private property as well. So there's, you know, trespassing going on, and, you know, a lot of the safety videos or things to me are a little bit tame in comparison to what I used to see out there on the front lines. You know, they obviously, you don't want to scare people away if you're in the tourism industry, but it is kind of incumbent upon us to let them know the reality of the dangers, and that, you know, not everybody makes it back from their vacation alive.
Well, you know, a Kauai Visitors Bureau came out with their vision and said that we think our capacity is at 25,000, and they often exceed that number.
Our general plan, I think, was the goal was to have tourism not be more than, I think, 30% of the general population at any given time. And I believe most of the time we do exceed that. I don't think that, you know, the general perspective from the Tourism Authority or the Maui Visitors Bureau is to slow down in the promotion and advertisement of Maui. So there is a little bit of a disconnect going on there. To me, we possibly can shift some funding, you know, from advertising Maui to sustaining what we have that's good about tourism here. You know, we don't really want to overpopulate our roads, our beaches, and, you know, maybe think of promoting off-season times more than, you know, the traditional school break time. I don't endorse cutting all the funding from Maui Visitors Bureau, because they do also help when we had the hurricanes or when the Pali Road is shut down or things like that. They do coordinate with the hotels and the guests on how to handle that. But, you know, another thing to think about, like when we had Hurricane Lane and there was that huge fire in our district, I was still working in the ocean safety under the fire department, and a lot of tourists had been evacuated to the civic center. And I spoke with one gentleman who had left his hotel because it was oceanfront and the forecast of the huge storm surge. So he went to the first shelter up Lahaina Luna Road at one of the schools. Then the fire came, and so he got evacuated from that shelter to the civic center. And by the time I came in to work, there was another fire north of the Civic Center, and then he had been evacuated from a fire on the south side of the Civic Center, and he was worried that he was going to be caught between the two fires. And, you know, we really didn't have enough shelter for our population. Everybody off of Lahaina Luna Road had been evacuated, Ka'anapali, Laniapoku. And so, you know, as we were driving around doing our patrols, there were just people everywhere in the parking lots. And at that time, we were still facing a Category 3 hurricane. And people had been evacuated from their homes, evacuated from their initial shelters. Some of my friends got evacuated twice. They evacuated from their home in Lahaina Luna, stayed at a friend's at Laniapoku's or Ka'anapali, and then they got evacuated from there. So, you know, also to take into consideration is if we're inviting all these visitors to come, that we're ultimately responsible for their safety once they're here. And, you know, these types of natural disaster events are getting more and more frequent. It is good, I think, for us, you know, to plan to work together on any type of natural disaster.
That was Maui County Councilmember Tamara Palton talking about not losing sight of what we need to do as we invite tourists to our island home, keeping them safe during disasters.